Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Some other thoughts now about people alone, afraid to reach out, for whom maybe just a few simple words might help.
I believe you. It's not your fault.
If some young people could hear those words, they might not feel so alone while dealing with the aftermath of sexual trauma and the consequences of abuse. Seattle-area writer Lindy West has made those words the rallying cry for a very special new blog and social network called simply, I Believe You, It's Not Your Fault. West wanted to create a space online that came close to the sanctuary she found with a group of women who have come together to share honest fears and to seek support about subjects that are hard for anyone to talk about.
A woman shared a story about her 12-year-old daughter who has a friend who's been really severely sexually harassed at school and comes from a family that's really buys into the narrative that, you know, sexual harassment and abuse like that are the girl's fault for maybe dressing the wrong way or leading boys on. And this girl had really internalized those ideas. And according to this woman, was convinced that it was her fault and she was just an attention whore and that the next time this happened, she should just comply and go along with what these boys wanted. And she doesn't have anyone at home to counter that narrative and to say, no, you are allowed to draw your own boundaries and defend those boundaries. That's a good thing. And your body belongs to you. And this isn't your fault.
The blog I Believe You, It's Not Your Fault has found a rapidly growing community of young people looking for a place to share safely and to take support without fear of judgment. Lindy West says the project has struck a chord.
People write me letters that are mostly first-person accounts of things that happened to them and how they got through them and where they are now. And most of the stories are about sexual assault or rape. But there's also stories about disability and eating disorders and, sort of toxic parents, emotionally abusive parents, dealing with bullying at school. And I'm hoping to keep expanding the scope of what we talk about. And then we have another component to the site, which is that we have an anonymous ask box. So anyone can write in anonymously and ask anything they need to ask. And then I have a panel of people who have contributed letters, and I send the questions to them, and we all sort of answer them as a group.
And the simplest idea of all is the title, which is a reassuring voice from really the darkness for an adolescent dealing with these issues.
Yeah, definitely. So the title is just, I Believe You, It's Not Your Fault, which are two things that came up over and over and over when we were initially discussing this idea that everyone said they always needed to hear and didn't hear. Because we spend so much time trying to categorize different kinds of assault and which kinds of rape count and which ones don't. I mean, you hear politicians doing this, you know, as though there are different grades of trauma or of assault and some count more than others. We spend so much time trying to discredit victims and trying to, you know, question people's accounts of their own trauma. So to just have a space where people can tell stories and not be questioned and not be judged is really, really valuable. And, you know, that's all we are. It's just a big rock of solidarity. You can tell us what happened. We believe you. It's not your fault.
So you started a Tumblr, and the idea of fault really became central to the identity of this.
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing how entrenched the idea is that victims are somehow complicit in things that happen to them. That this original girl, this story that where it all started, she was convinced that she shouldn't have made a scene. She shouldn't have told because it made a scene and then the boys got in trouble and she made a scene. She didn't make a scene. The boys made a scene. You know, people are so worried about speaking out about their abuse, especially if it's from a family member or someone that you love or someone who's supposed to take care of you. The way that's framed is that, oh, you're causing this rift in the family. No, your abuser caused this rift in the family. People carry around a ton of blame and guilt and shame for things that were done to them. And it's really victimizing that person twice.
Have you encountered anyone on this blog who you believed was in real danger?
We've gotten some really disturbing questions in the ask box. And a couple people who I've just written back to privately, sending them some resources to different services that I think might be able to help them. I've consulted a couple of mental health professionals that I know just privately to help some of these kids out. But some of the stuff that we're getting is really astonishing. You know, I was raped by my sister's boyfriend 3 weeks ago. And what now I feel like hurting myself. What do I do? Which to a certain extent feels way over my head. I mean, I'm not a mental health professional, but we do have this big pool of contributors who've been through all of these things. And I think just a lot of people who've written in, even saying really intense, urgent things like that, have also said it really helps to just be able to tell someone. So hopefully the combination of being heard and being supported, and then also being directed to organizations and support systems that could, you know, give some real tangible on the ground help to these kids, will be productive in the long run.
Have you seen that tangibly on the site, I Believe You, It's Not Your Fault, of people beginning with real fear and not knowing where to go and getting counseling and the response and the impact that it had on them?
I mean, there have been a couple people who wrote in and said, I've never told anyone this before and I don't know what to do, who then wrote back just grateful to have been listened to. So I'm hoping that people will take steps in real life outside of just talking to us. But it seems like just naming the problem and talking about it to someone and having the courage to even speak what happened to you is a first step.
Hmm. Any insights for your own family?
My kids are 10 and 12, and I told them about the blog, and they were like, oh, cool. You know, like they got to be cool about it. But I hope that they will remember that it's there and read it. It's difficult stuff. I don't want to force them to read it because it is kind of scary to read. But I know that they know it's there. And I hope that, you know, when their friends or God forbid they go through any of these things, that they look to it as a resource.
Lindy West is a staff writer at Jezebel, founder and editor of I Believe You, It's Not Your Fault. Lindy, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much.